I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard. Regular updates from the court in the celebrity trial of the century. You've got a multi-millionaire film star known all over the world with a decades-long career pursuing his ex-wife through the courts because he believes she accused him of being a wife beater, of domestic violence. And you've got all sorts of cultural fault lines which fall through this. You've got the Hollywood opera of these millionaires living this crazy life in private jets and mansions all around the world with thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people hanging off their every move. You've got the power plays. You've got three billionaires involved in this. You had Rupert Murdoch, who owns NGN Newspapers. You've got Elon Musk, who was connected to Amber Heard in ways which I'm sure will come out in the trial. And of course, you've got Jeff Bezos, who is the proprietor of the Washington Post, in which Amber Heard wrote the article which Johnny Depp is suing her over. You've got the Me Too movement. She is a spokesperson for people who suffered domestic violence. You've got all sorts of political fault lines through this as well. The number of people who follow Johnny Depp, who themselves are victims of abuse and believe him to be a victim. In fact, that's what he's claimed for this trial. And you've got the strange celebrity entourage syndrome, which came out in July 2020 at the High Court in London, which I think is going to be even more magnified. Interesting people and the jobs they do around Hollywood, what they're saying about whom, where their loyalties lie. And at the center of this, what the actual truth is. What is a jury going to believe? Johnny Depp has to prove a very high bar when it comes to this libel trial. He has to prove malice, that Amber Heard didn't just get things wrong, but that she was motivated by malice. If he can convince a jury that Amber Heard was writing about him and that it was motivated by malice and that what she said was not true, then he could get his career back. Because if he doesn't, it's toast. My name is Nick Wallace. I am a reporter and journalist. I covered the Johnny Depp trial in London in July 2020 and started live tweeting it to what I hope was an appreciative audience. And I got really into it. I managed to get transcripts of the trial, lots of evidence posted up on my website, and was communicating it to a locked down audience both in the UK and around the world who didn't otherwise have any access to the trial. So things kind of went from there, and I obviously was the first journalist to report Johnny Depp's failure to win his libel action against NGN and Dan Wootten, and was also the first journalist to report his failure to get permission to appeal it from the Court of Appeal. Since then, I've been following the build-up to the trial in Virginia from afar and had a harebrained idea that I would try and go out and cover it myself. It's going to be a really strange trial. One of the reasons it was extended from 4 weeks to possibly north of six is because there is going to be a huge amount of expert evidence, forensic evidence examining photographs and recordings, which Johnny Depp thinks will prove that Amber Heard was faking the injuries she said she got. Most of the witnesses are going to be appearing by deposition. They've already said what they have to say. So the jury is going to be faced with potentially hours and hours of pre-recorded depositions from the various witnesses, most of whom are based in Los Angeles. But what we will get is up to 10 days of live evidence from Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. They are going to be examined by their own legal team, and then they are going to be cross-examined fiercely. And that is when everything will start to come out in even more lurid detail than it did in the court case in London in July 2020. In 2018, Dan Wootten, who's a journalist in The Sun, asked the rhetorical question, how is it that J.K. Rowling can be happy casting Johnny Depp in the forthcoming Fantastic Beasts movie when he's a wife beater? And Johnny Depp took exception to this. He said, I'm not a wife beater, and I'm going to sue Dan Wootten and his parent newspaper group, NGN, for libel. So this took place in the summer of 2020, in the middle of lockdown. I was sent along by Five News to cover the first day. And I knew what was going to be required of me to fulfill my broadcast commitments. But I've been to several High Court trials in the past and developed something of a fondness for live tweeting proceedings. I like to broadcast and communicate what's going on. And because British trials aren't filmed, that is the only way of getting a blow-by-blow live account of what's going on. So I idly started live tweeting what was going on. And before long, I realized that it seemed like half of America had latched on to what I was doing. Because, of course, it was lockdown, there were no American journalists who could get over to the trial. I was the only person providing the only information to a fan base that is worldwide, but obviously focused in America, and a very well-organized fan base. And so the word spread, and before long, there's this Brit guy who's tweeting what's going on in the trial. It being lockdown, which is a bad time for a freelancer, I didn't have any other work on. I had this one day where I was required to turn up to the beginning of the trial by 5 News, but that was it. So I just said on Twitter, I said, look, I don't know whether I'll be let back in court tomorrow because it's all ticketed and I haven't got proper accreditation, but I know what I'm doing. So would you fancy it if I went back in the next day to see if I could tweet the next day of the trial? And the answer was an overwhelming yes. And as I literally did not have anything else to do, I went to court the next day, snuck into court, and started live tweeting again. So I got really, really into what was going on because, I mean, the details of what was happening in that trial, the drug taking, the private planes, the film sets, the squabbles, the somewhat scatological elements to it as well, the chopped off finger, the money that was being spent, the money that was being wasted, the deals that were being struck, the cast of characters that came through that court as live witnesses. It was compelling. It was really compelling, and it said to me an awful lot about these two characters at the centre of it, who I did feel a little sorry for, because I don't think anyone wanted it to end up like it did. But Johnny Depp had decided that he was going to sue a British newspaper because he thought what they said was untrue. So when the trial had concluded, it was a question of waiting for the ruling. I knew when it was going to come through. I've learned how to read very, very lengthy judgments, and I was able to pick up the judgment as it landed, get to the key point on the key page, and then be the first journalist to tweet the fact that Johnny Depp had lost his attempt to sue NGN and Dan Wootton for libel. By that stage, life was beginning to get nearly back to normal and the work was picking up, but I kept an eye on the proceedings simply because I felt so grateful to the number of people who'd crowdfunded me during the trial. So I sat through the Court of Appeal application hearing because everyone's got a right to appeal a judgment. Johnny Depp did that and he failed in his application to appeal. So it stands, and now anyone can call Johnny Depp in this jurisdiction a wife beater. Now, the interesting thing about the trial in America is that it's a jury trial. It's American justice. And whilst there are similarities, the fact that this is a libel trial over what Amber Heard wrote in a newspaper in the States means that Johnny Depp has to convince a jury. And that is going to be very different from convincing a judge. How it will play out, what the tactics are, I don't know. But it's going to be fascinating. I think one thing that's important to try and get across is my gratitude for the people who've crowdfunded this whole adventure. Many of them are huge Johnny Depp fans. And I think it's a tribute to them that actually they want someone like me who is proposing to go in there and do an objective job of the process. I don't hold a candle for either side in this party, and I've made that very plain all along. But my main objective is just to get as much hard information as I can from being in and around the courthouse on a daily basis throughout this trial into the public domain. And if I do that effectively, hopefully this will be an entertaining and useful podcast, and I'll feel like I've in some way paid back the people who've put their faith in me to go and do a job. Thanks for listening to this exciting preview episode, which will hopefully whet your appetite for the 6 or 7 weeks of madness that's about to ensue. Episode 2 will hopefully be a report made immediately after the first day of Depp v. Heard, which is on Monday, the 11th of April, depending on which time zone you're listening to this. This, alternatively, could be the first and last episode of this podcast if I don't get into court or America or even cross the Atlantic. So there's an element of jeopardy involved, but I am reasonably convinced that I've got enough ducks in a row to get through the various hoops that I need to be able to actually do a proper job on this podcast. So, all being well, as soon as we finish court on the first day of the trial on the 11th of April, I will be recording episode 2, and it will be available everywhere.